I just let the music speak for itself. Let me see. What did I play? I played the Mighty Marvelous with I Do, the Honeybees, Never in a Million Years, Jackie Wilson, Reet Petite, the Sensations, Let Me In, the Temptations, Girls All Right With Me, Jackie Wilson, Higher and Higher, the Dixie Cups, Iko Iko, Thurston Harris, Little Bitty Pretty One, and the Jive Bombers with Bad Boy. My name is Tony Ryan, and this has been a sort of a special show. I called it Filet of Soul, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any opinions, comments, or questions, you can email me at tony@soulcentralstation.com. That's tony@soulcentralstation.com.
The Pacifica Radio Archives celebrates Women's History Month.
I had always had this pride, this fierce, sterile almost kind of pride, because my grandmother had said, you must be proud, but she never told me all the horror of her background. One didn't talk about it, you see, and then she died.
Lena Horne, 1917 to 2010, American singer, actress, and civil rights activist, talks about racial identity in the year 1966. Part of the Pacifica Radio Archives Preservation and Access Project, American Women Making History and Culture, 1963 to 1982, funded in part by a grant from the National Historical Publications and Records Commission at the National Archives and Records Administration. For more information, visit us at pacificaradioarchives.org. I'm Sonali Kulhatkar. Thanks for keeping our women's history alive.
Hi, this is Chloe Glickman, and I'm an intern at WBAI. Looking to get professional experience doing something you're actually passionate about? At WBAI, I'm able to develop skills in journalism, marketing, event planning, editing, social networking, and much more, all while working directly with producers and the management team. BAI is always taking applications for credit and non-credit internships, so get in touch today. Send an email to internships@wbai.org for more information. Join the team that supplied New York with independent radio for over 50 years. Help keep community radio going strong.
The WBAI Community Advisory Board will be holding an open meeting at the Wall Street Atrium located at 60 Wall Street in Lower Manhattan at 1 p.m. on Sunday, March 22nd. We will discuss the status of the California Attorney General investigation of Pacifica and other related issues. Again, the WBAI Community Advisory Board will be having an open meeting on Sunday, March 22nd at 1 p.m. at the Wall Street Atrium, located at 60 Wall Street. All are welcome and invited to share their ideas and opinions.
Welcome, welcome, and good evening, good morning. You're listening to Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine, here with
Paulette Spencer.
And we are also here with you this evening. We're playing a little music to get ourselves in a groove, I guess one would say. If they grew up in the 70s.
like I did.
Yeah, that's why myself as well. We want to get into the groove, and we're inviting you to be part of this experience with your phone calls and your comments and suggestions. And so shake yourself awake, get yourself a cup of coffee if that will help, or some nice herbal tea. We'll be back in a moment.
Honey, you mother, okay, I'll hold it.
Welcome back yet again. You were just listening to Freedom Cry by Deep Forest, and our opening theme is Earth by Michelle Indiacello. And so we are going to start off, I think, by refreshing your memory about the memorial event coming up in celebration of the life of Robert Knight. And so, Paulette, I invite you to tell people about this really special occasion.
Yes, so not this Saturday, but next Saturday, March the 28th, we will be having a tribute to Robert Knight, and that will be held at the Riverside Church. The Riverside Theater, which is located inside Riverside Church. The address is 91 Claremont Avenue near West 120th Street. And it will be held, the program will be held from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're going to have a reception that starts at 6:30 and ends at 7. There'll be live music, many speakers, including Randy Credico, Kathy Davis, Margaret Kunstler, Dennis Bernstein. We'll have musical guests, including David Amram, Terry Waldo, and Roy Jennings, and it promises to be a festive event celebrating the life and 35 years of professional work of Robert Knight. And so you are welcome to come. It's a free event. There's an RSVP that's suggested, but it's not required. You can just come and enjoy. WBAI has now the announcement on its webpage, and if you want to RSVP, you can RSVP through the WBAI webpage. But again, it's not required.
And that's a good thing, because here at WBAI, people are a little bit against the grain. You know, we do things a little bit offbeat, not quite as expected. And so I believe that many will want to just arrive at the Riverside Church, and that is a week from
Saturday,
March 28th. So that's a very special evening. And you will be able to celebrate the life of Robert Knight. And he has provided, and primarily through this medium, WBAI, 35 years he's worked as an investigative broadcast journalist. And so it should be a wonderful event. And I have to say, Randy Credico is always a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
he's a great satirist and comic with a real political motivation behind him. He's run for office several times, including governor. And so I'm sure he'll have a lot of very interesting things to say about the current state of our world, as well as give some perspective on Robert Knight. I believe that he was one of Robert's best friends.
Yes, since the 1980s.
Yeah. Is Dennis coming?
Dennis Bernstein will be there, absolutely.
Right, so his early co-host coming all the way in from California. So it should be a wonderful opportunity to celebrate and to be in community with all the folks who enjoyed the work and benefited from the contributions made into the world by Robert Knight. So that's a beautiful thing. And so you can go to the website, wbai.org, and you'll see that shifting panel at the top. What do you call those things? And
ribbon.
Yeah, you know, eventually you'll see a panel that says public tribute. You just click on it, and it'll take you to the page, a stable page, where you can either register or jot down the information about when and where to participate. So we hope that you will do that, and hopefully we'll see you there. It should be a great night. And we're going to, I'm going to play a little more music for you, and then we will move on to something interesting that's inclusive of you. Welcome back. So that was an interesting piece by, is that Bob Dylan? How could I forget? Maggie's Farm. And I like that particular piece of music because it just reminds me of all the dead-end jobs I've ever had, all the places I've been that were a drag, and the relationships that I needed to get out of but didn't have the motivation to get out of. And then all of a sudden you just reach that point when you know what? This has got to end. It's time to go. That's what that song reminds me of. It reminds me of it's time to move. I'm not working anymore in Maggie's Farm. Whatever Maggie's Farm is, you can replace it with whatever job you've had that you have had enough of. Maybe it's the job you're working for right now. I'm not talking to you necessarily, Paulette. And I'm not talking to me necessarily because I'm not working anywhere. But perhaps there are folks in our listening audience who have reached that point where they're ready to move out of the dreg-like existence they may be experiencing. I was really very much affected by some of the phone calls that we got last week. And I was really feeling, very deeply feeling, how much people are going through stuff and feeling stuck in their lives and really not knowing which way to turn, how to get out of it, you know, what to do. Because making a change in one's life is very, very challenging to actually motivate oneself to do that. Most often, we end up getting kicked in the pants and find ourselves either in the street or out of a relationship or out of a job, and then we're scrambling to figure out what to do. And when that happens, there's an opportunity to change, you know, to find something better, to do something a little bit better. But it's difficult to motivate oneself to actually pick up and leave something that feels safe. However challenging it might be, if it feels safe, you know, pays the rent, keeps the roof over the head, buys food for the fridge, then it's really hard to say, I'm going to turn my back on this and try something new. And I feel that that's the way I had lived a lot of my life. You know, gratefully, I've had a lot of jobs that were kind of quirky and interesting, and even though they had their challenges, you know, it had both the up and the upside as well. But it's not easy to recognize that you really need to change your life and then be able to pick up and move and change it. And I think that occurs because we tolerate that sense of degradation or depression or not being valued, not having a real appreciation of who we are. And if you go through 5, 10, 15, 20 years of that, it's hard to reconnect to what's going on and to find yourself, or to sort of take away all those layers of feeling lost and maybe shamed or just wounded, and to actually have the energy to do anything.
Yeah, it takes a lot to take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I've also had quite a few jobs that I kind of had to psych myself into realizing that they had their purpose in my life, and some things I had to sort of, I wouldn't say endure, but be patient to get to the point where I was ready to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a great deal. It takes resources, first of all, planning, courage, and just a lot of quiet perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I strongly believe that when you're, and I think we agree, that when you're in certain positions in life, it's there to teach you something of a lesson.
Yes, I think that this is true. But sometimes the lesson can be quite severe.
I agree.
If you're not able to grasp and evolve.
I agree.
Yeah, it can be quite severe. And so, yeah, so, I mean, I've been thinking about that. And, you know, I'm still thinking about that call in which one of our callers spoke about the fear of success. And I found it really interesting because, for me, in order to really look at that question, one would have to define what success is. What does success mean? And the reason I say that is because I have experienced that kind of a feeling where it would appear that I have some fear of a certain level of success. And then I found that I had to really look at what is this picture of success that I am not attracted to. Because basically, it's not, I'm not sure if it's a fear so much as there's no attraction to it. And it's usually, for me, a picture of success that is just that, it's a picture. It's like, well, if you have a certain amount of income and you have a certain kind of house and you have a certain kind of this and a certain kind of that, and you have the car and you're able to do all these things and vacation, which are all nice things, but they, from my perspective, are all kind of external qualifications of what success is. And it's almost as if you don't have permission to be happy unless you can qualify by having those things. And so it has a tendency to, at least for me, to make me feel a part of a rat race, you know, like rushing and running and competing and working hard and lots of hours and trying to get ahead and, you know, trying to build a bank account. And so that has never been appealing to me. And so I'm wondering if that's what part of what the fear of success is. I'm not saying it's a good thing, because it tends to lead to instability in one's life when you don't have that drive. You know, you don't have the regular job, you don't have the regular income, you don't have the the trappings and conveniences that most people enjoy. But, you know, there's something about that experience of really churning in that race of success that, for me, is just not appealing.
I understand what you're saying. And yeah. I think, as I might have mentioned last week, I think success is a very subjective thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what one person would consider a success in their life, or, you know, leaving their imprint, their legacy, as it were, may be, you know, a trivial matter to someone else.
This is true.
And I think that I myself have gone, through that journey, but I've been fortunate. But I've seen what it's like to be, to sort of be the fly on the wall, you know, of a fairly prestigious place, and realize where all the chinks are, and the, you know, in the china there were, mm-hmm. as, you know, where all of the imperfections are, and to realize, you know, you can either stay in this very sort of cocoon like atmosphere, or you can take what you learn from being there and decide what you want to do in life. Mm-hmm. And step outside of this atmosphere, out of this kind of bubble almost. And perhaps maybe what I consider success is not what someone else does. You know, it's making a contribution. It's making that difference. And it doesn't necessarily always come with the money, but it comes with the understanding that there's a certain bit of knowledge or certain skill that you have, or a gift, mm-hmm. that you can share with people and make a difference in their lives. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what success is. Other people might think differently.
This is true. It's a very interesting question. And we are going to put it out there for all of you who are joining us through the phone lines, if you're interested in tapping into this conversation and maybe giving a sense of what it means to you to be successful. And or it doesn't even have to really even be in that language, but, you know, we all are choosing and evolving in our lives, and we have an opportunity to share with each other and grow with each other and see what we can offer in this dialogue. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, it's Tom from the Bronx here.
Hi, Tom.
And success to me always meant having a solid job, paying your bills, and existing with pride and dignity. And when, you know, work hard all day, come home, and then reach for that, and then you have a hearty meal, and you reach in the cabinet, you pull out a box of Success Rice. And that is success.
Okay.
Well, that's true success. Let me put it to you that way.
Well, thank you.
Okie doke.
Well, that sounds very satisfying.
Absolutely.
For our caller. Thank you. There is, I can relate on a lot of levels in the sense that I do enjoy, I don't want to say hard work. You know, I don't like to necessarily engage in physical labor, digging ditches, you know, building walls. But, I mean, I could do that from time to time. I like, you know, working in the garden, that kind of thing. But to be really intensely involved in something is something that I would consider success, or, you know, something really engaged in a process or a project from the idea stage to its completion, to me, is very rewarding. And so I could relate on that level that, you know, you get out there and you have an idea, you build something, you create it, and you present it to the world. The challenge, though, is to actually have that reward come back to you, you know, to be able to present it to the world in such a way that it can be received and understood. It's when you go for a job, you go, you do your job. At the end of the week, you get paid for it. When you're creating something as a free form creation, you have to figure out how to market it. You have to figure out how to get people to even know about it, much less appreciate it. So it's a greater challenge, but I can relate on that level how interesting it is to just really sink into a good work of some kind and then complete it and then relax afterwards. So I can connect with what that caller said. The number, do you remember what he said his name? Was it Roy? I don't remember. 212-209-2900 is the number to call. If you would like to join us with your comment, you can do that, 212-209-2900. And we'll put a little music in the background as we await your calls. Oops, wrong one. Paulette, you were saying something about time.
Yeah, actually, I thought about that when I listened to that song, that when you talk about success or a span of a body of work, you're also talking about time. And that's, I think, another element that we can really explore in how people develop professionally, emotionally, and define success over time.
This is true. Time is a factor. Time is a factor. And one of the things that I am discovering at the moment, excuse me, is that time is not real. In the sense of connecting to the self, time is a sort of like a
almost like a living notebook. And on it, you know, is written all the things that you experienced and will be written on it, the things that you are to experience. But none of the time of the past or the future actually exists. Only right now exists.
That's interesting. Because when I think of, you know, years ago, 25, 30 years ago, when I was a youngin', I think of things that I did, and I realize just how much of your nature, your deeper nature, is very much formed. Your body may grow older, you may go through experience, and it wisens you. But in terms of who you are, that's developed much earlier on in your lifespan.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of it comes in with you. You know, when I look at little kids and little babies, it's like I can see them now. I can see their personalities. I can see their little, you know, idiosyncrasies. And it's true. I'm not very different than I was when I was six. I know a lot more stuff, but I'm not very different. Let's take a call. Hello, you're on the air. You're on the air. Whoops. No, you're not. Hold on. Let me try that again. Okay, so you're going to have to talk for a minute so I could try to figure out what's going on with the phone line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, looking at time and success, I think I also think
okay.
of...
hold on. Let me see if I can make this work.
What happens when you imagine what you can become and you try to actualize it, and how over, well, this false notion of time, how things can either develop in your life or take you in directions that you really would not have anticipated.
Exactly. And hello, are you with us at this moment?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Thank you. Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Okay, but the topic here is success, right?
It started out with success. We've sort okay. of shifted into time. And so it's kind of an open, free-form discussion. Start with success and see where it takes you.
Okay. For me, talking about success is first truly getting to know yourself. That's the first beginning of success. Having love for yourself, having a good family, and knowing exactly what you want out of your life. And that, you know, everybody have a different measure of what success is. Success is spiritually knowing who God is. And success to me is your health. Money is a great aptitude to it, but that's not what I call true success. I mean, in my way, success is having people like you and growing to love people. So there's all types of success. That's one area. And then the other area is the financial reward of success. But that's not the greatest part. I know a lot of people with money, they're not successful because a lot of people don't like them and don't want to be around them for their true self. So success to me is knowing who you are and just being who you are. That's true success.
I appreciate that, and I think I'm inclined to resonate with what you're saying. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. The number is 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. If you would like to participate, if you have some thoughts or an opinion, or if maybe you're getting an idea we haven't come up with as of this moment that you want to offer. Maybe there's a relationship or an inspiration there that you just come up with something on your own that you want to share. That's fine as well. At 212-209-2900. And, excuse me. Yeah, so I've been actually working a lot on this idea of abundance and prosperity. And so, you know, it's something that has always been very elusive for me. But it's also never been anything I really aspired to or desired. And so I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be surprised because I never really work for abundance and prosperity. I always, you know, I like to be a creative person. So I like to do things for the creative experience, for the creative process. And, you know, if people don't like my drawings, I like them. You know, people don't appreciate the things that I do. I enjoy the doing of it. But I've come to realize that a lot of the things that I've created are actually very cool, you know, and people would enjoy them. And then I started to interface with the internet and finding ways to get my work out into the world so that more people could know about it and come to appreciate it. And I think that's another part of success, and I think that really falls into what you were talking about, in the sense that you really do have to just be persistent and to work on things. You don't necessarily have to do that for a boss or for a job, but if you're going to be successful on any level, be that in a career, working in a career, working in an office, or if it's your own ideas, it really does require persistence, determination, and a real application to just basic communication and sharing and opening and networking and really growing in ways that you wouldn't necessarily think about if you are either I would say if you're in a job like our first caller and you go to work and you come home and that really satisfies you, then great, that's enough, that's great. I mean, you know, to me, that's like a wonderful situation to be in, to be totally satisfied by the work you go to do, and then you go home and you're with your family. Kind of reminds me of the values of my parents, the values that people grew up with in the 50s and maybe 60s. But, but at the same time, you know, then there's a satisfaction of just being a person who likes to create, like the person who has hobbies, or, you know, like the guy who loves to fix up his car. He's not making money out of it. He's probably spending a lot of money on it, fixing up his car and souping up the car and putting in stereos. I remember I used to live in the South Bronx, and there were lots of guys like that. They were outside with their cars, you know, and you would hear the music blaring all over the place, and they'd ride around with their music blaring because they wanted to make sure that you knew that they had fixed up their cars. So that's one kind of success. But, you know, if you are trying to mingle your success with your creativity, with your life, the support that you receive in your life, it's an interesting journey. It's an interesting mix of what one has to do to make that work, make that happen, and have it not turn into a drag. You know, it's like to work, and have it not be a drag means that you have to be really clear about enjoying what you're doing and really clear about staying really centered within yourself and who you are, so that even though you're working hard, you're not, the outcome of that work is not what you're using to judge your success. Does that make sense?
Certainly. And mm-hmm. I think just to even go in a, I wouldn't say another direction, but in, maybe in a different context, I remember years ago, I guess it was 2005, when I graduated from Fordham University, and the keynote speaker at the ceremony was, I guess he's the current president of NYU, and his theme was the importance of failure. And he used it as a metaphor as of being a child taking piano lessons and not being able to have to reach the octave on a piano keyboard because his hands were so small, mm-hmm. and how it was so important in life to try to go into areas that take you out of your comfort zone and to know what failure feels like but not to give up. And that sort of persistence and wisdom that you get and diligence that you develop may pay off in the end.
Yeah, I think it always does. It really always does.
I thought that was very profound, mm-hmm. and that perhaps failure of success is maybe fear of failure.
That makes sense. And then, so that part of the fear factor is thinking that we might fail. And I would think, and from what I've seen, even people who are report themselves to be very successful had to fail. I don't know of any really successful person that didn't have episodes of failing, of not making it, of going through some challenge, some struggle, some point of honing that drive and that skill.
Definitely. So, yeah, it's you see that amongst some of the most skilled in, you know, remember seeing a documentary on a, I think it was a neurosurgeon who talked about the importance of having failed so many times in his life along the way, but never ever giving up. Just keep going no matter how many times you fall on your face. And I thought that was extremely important.
Yeah, well, I think that's what life is, falling on your face and getting up again.
That's right.
The number is 212-209-2900. Sorry, I missed a call. I saw it at the last minute, and then it blinked away. Hello, please turn off your radio. You're live on the air. This is WBAI in New York.
Yeah.
Hi.
How you doing there? I'm listening to your program on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. You know, it's really, it's almost like a mental stimulation.
Well, good. I'm glad. Thank you.
You freeze the mind from some of the supposed to be's and, you know, those kind of rigid, supposedly, you know, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. We grow up with that, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, and it's almost hard to really kind of like shake oneself from it because all around us is those supposed to, you know. And anytime we kind of like step forward, it's almost as though we're living in failure. We're constantly living in failure because we base our success on failure, on not wanting to fail. And so we kind of like have a picture of failure in our mind. So in order to be successful, we have to avoid failure. So it's almost as though we live in the failure, mm-hmm. you know.
And the success
part, true. Success part is, you know, is living through the failure. It's outrageous, and it's ironic at the same time, but I think it's the contrast.
It is, you know, and you know what you're saying really brings up in my mind, you know, when you started out talking about supposed to, it's almost as if we get predestined to measure our success based on what we're supposed to be or do, which means we're entirely living for some judgment outside of ourselves, has nothing to do with who we are. And so it may be that that's why we fear success, because to follow that path is to follow a path away from your true calling or your true nature, because you're living for somebody else.
Constantly living in unknown.
Yeah.
Because we don't get a chance to know ourselves. We don't get a chance to live out ourselves, our real feelings. And I think that's why I really giving it some, respect. I just think it's also part of evolving. really. I'm not looking at it as though it's, you know, it's really a hell bent kind of situation, but it seems like it's more or less an evolving, you know, of a mentality, you know, the evolving of the mind, body, experience, and, you know, in the days and times that we're living in. You know, it's almost like some people say we are spiritual beings, living in a you know, we're spiritual beings living in a human body kind of thing.
Yeah, I entirely agree with that. That we are at our core spirit. And we are at our core, you know, spirit, energy, consciousness, awareness. And that exists while we're in our bodies before and after. And so during this passage of our lifetime, when we're in our body, rather than learning to be a spiritual being, a powerful being of spirit, and exploring through the body, the physical realm, we get trapped into the judgments of this lifetime and forget who we truly are.
And that's a good portion right there, forget who we truly are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you deal with the spirit part, it's like the spirit in itself is infinite, and we choose a body to come into the world and we choose our parents. In other words, it's like we choose the parents.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be the vessel that we, you know, that's going to bring us into this here, you know, to this here plane, or, you know. And why do we choose this? It's just like what you mentioned. You know, we forget, in a sense, we forget the purpose of, you know, our even using these vessels. You know, is it just part of the evolving of that the unconscious that's really, you know, that's really taken over?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it that we actually forget our purposes, you know, as we intermingle with other people supposed to be and things of that nature, you know? Because the reason why I come to that is because, you know, the infiniteness of the spirit is almost as though we still have yet to really know ourselves. And that's part of the success of, it's almost like, what they call it, nirvana?
Nirvana?
The bliss.
Yeah. Well,
the bliss,
yeah.
The moment, like you mentioned something about the moment, living in the moment, and that's all we have. So I think one of you or the other party said that we're living in the moment. And to me, it's like, that can only, that is only possible if we're in our orgasmic state, if we're in our bliss state, because the bliss is at the moment, and that's all it is at the time. Because if you notice, after each a blissful, orgasm,
mm-hmm.
it's like okay, now that's the moment. After those orgasms, it's like back to work.
Well, see, but that's one way. That's one way of looking at it. But the other way of looking at it is that you could say the orgasm is when you're in the moment,
right.
But maybe it's being in the moment that gives you the orgasm. So, for instance, if you can adjust your awareness and your understanding of there just being now, then your entire life could be in that blissful state. And that's what the nirvana is. So it's not just a question of going for the orgasm or the
right.
bliss, but going for the now, going for the being centered and being holy and completely yourself. Because when you're centered into your complete self, that means you're awake to your spirit, you're in communication with your soul and divinity. And when that energy, that awareness is being expressed through you, it feels like bliss.
So in maintaining that blissfulness is the challenge.
No, I think the challenge is to not live in the past and not live in the future and be only in the moment.
that's the challenge. The bliss comes naturally when you can do that. So if you're chasing the bliss, that's almost like sinking into an addiction. You know, I gotta be happy, I gotta be happy. What's gonna make me happy? More food, more sex, more this, more that. So you gotta forget about the bliss, forget about the happy, and just be the now.
Lovely. All right, hey, look, I have no qualms with that. And as a matter of fact, it seems very timely because we seem to synchronize, we came to the term of bliss, you know. That's real interesting.
You
know,
okay.
And you're maintaining that blissful and just leave, you know, just not trying so hard. In other words, not even trying.
Yeah, yeah. You can't try and get blissful, and you can't try for happiness. It's almost like, you know how in the mornings, if you go out really early into a park or into a nature area, and you'll see a little bit of fog coming up out of the earth, and it's like this mistiness there, and it just naturally comes up through the earth. That's how joy is. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be in your natural state, and it naturally arises.
Now, is that one phase of joy? Because you just stimulated something else. Is that one phase of joy? Because if you notice, as the day, you know, continues, then there's...
It's one phase. It's one phase, but I was using that as a metaphor for how natural it can arise within you. You don't have to strive for it. You just have to bring yourself into the state of natural self, and you'll be joyful.
It would seem that then to be in that natural state is to already be there and not allow other things to interfere with that being there.
Hold on.
And getting distracted from it by trying so hard to meet just other people's expectations and it's supposed to be.
Right. I think all of that needs to go out the window.
Okay, though.
I mean, that's at least how I look at it. I don't know about you, Paulette.
I can work with that. You know,
okay.
I mean, that might be a little, you know.
Well, yeah.
You
might have to chuck it out a little at a time. You know, one thing at a time. But to me, that's clutter. You know, when you have all that stuff in your head, it clutters it, and you don't have room to express.
It could be, and plus for every individual, it could be as though some people can juggle it better than others. You know,
they may be juggling it better than others, but they're not any closer to that blissful state. It just looks like they're juggling it well from the outside. Who knows what it's like on the inside? I don't think it's any different for any of us.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, because it's ongoing, because like I said, the word success, you know, it's going to be one of those degrees. It's like degrees of success.
Yeah.
You know, for each and every individual, it's a degree. And it's that, those degrees that brings about a continuous communication with the individual. So, in other words, to share and like sell and borrowing and lending of energies.
Yeah.
You know, as we come into each other's circumferences and meetings and communication, we borrow and lend and grow from each other's,
energy systems.
Energies and involvements. Mm-hmm. And that's where we, you know, to each and every individual, their degrees of success is going to be, you know, different.
I won't say that everyone's success is in a different degree. One is more successful than the other, but I would say they're in different colors, because some people, red is successful to someone else, yellow is successful.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's more like that. I want to try to go to the next caller. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for, you know, allowing me the time.
Okay, bye-bye now. Okay, we do have another caller. excuse me. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
And I forget who the other partner is. Oh, Paulette. Yeah, hi, both of you.
Hi.
Hi, this is Professor Rhythm. And I'm always happy to call into the shows, especially your show. I mean, your show is like always so right on when it's talking about the now and how people, you know, it's very hard to experience the now because, you know, we're so focused on our past and worried about our futures. But I know I've just been blessed enough to be able to understand the now. And even like, you know, when you were talking about prosperity and abundance, you know, because I'm not any kind of like rich or anything like that, but I still always say every day that I have a prosperity and abundance now. And that always seems to help me to make it through any type of adversity having to do with finances or anything. It just flows away. It just, you know, because understanding like now is beautiful, because that's where, as you were saying, that's where the bliss is. So if you can, if you understand it now, then you can be like in blissful moments, like for a majority of your life, majority of your experience. And that's kind of like what I experience now, is like, you know, I'm, you know, smiling, laughing, you know, laughing at people, but not really laughing at them, laughing with them, because I'm with them. I'm part of them. I'm part of everything that's going on. So, mm-hmm. you know, just be able to smile and laugh with everything that's going on just makes it all, it makes me understand that it's all such a game, a wonderful game that life really is. It's just really like a wonderful play on, you know, going back and forth. And, you know, I mean, of course, you know, I'm almost 60. I'm going to be 65 very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the same time, I've done a lot of stuff. I'm still performing. I still have dancers behind me. I'm still creating. I'm still writing. I have a little club that I put together. All these things, it's just, you know, it falls into place once you start understanding like the now and being on a path that just says, oh, this, you know, this is a path of understanding. It, you know, you get to that point if you're studious enough about what life is, that you get to a point of that path of understanding things. Everything mm-hmm. is like more or less objective. You don't have to be all subjective about anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's what success is to me. So that's what I just want to talk about.
Well, that sounds really great. And you know, what you're bringing up for me is how much that staying engaged and staying in that now moment and being creative and being able to enjoy, you know, whatever is transpiring in your life at any given moment is really how we end up staying youthful. It's how we end up, you know, maintaining the being that we were born as. And, you know, one of the things that is really hard to look at is when you see someone who has become embittered in their life and are just, you know, perpetuating this unhappiness and you know, caught up in what was and what wasn't. And you can see how that kind of thinking can make one sick and can age a person.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can stay in the flow of this moment and be okay with it, then it's how we hold on to both our health and our youth.
No, I agree with that, definitely, mm-hmm. definitely. And, you know, that's why I listen to Gary Nolan and say, okay, what can I do? Because he's like the top of the line health guy, you know. So you can't be like him, but you can aspire to be like that. That's the guy that aspired,
Nobody can match that level of health intensity. I certainly can't. But he has a lot of good advice on the things that you can do in with regard to your physicality. To exercise and all that stuff.
And the entire WBAI. I mean, you know, like that's what I say, when you look at your path, you say, wow, how did I just happen, you know, I happened to a BAI maybe 30 some odd years ago. And I haven't changed the station since, you know.
Wow.
Every now and then, you know, I'll listen to some music, whatever. But I mean,
I know exactly what you mean. It's a state of being, really.
It's just like, you know, I mean, so much education, so much unfolding has come from just listening to WBAI.
Well, so now I'm going to have to ask you permission to use that endorsement, and maybe I will make a clip of it and play it somewhere, because it's like, this is like the best thing for people to hear.
It's just so great. And there's a lot of paths that if you're blessed, I just know that I'm blessed somehow, you know, because briefly, just to say, like, okay, you start off like listening to your parents tell you about the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus, and then you say, oh my God, when I remember in second grade, somebody told me there was no Santa Claus, and I was ready to fight with him. I was like, you crazy? There is a Santa Claus. You out of your mind? There is a Santa Claus, you know.
I was like that as well. That is so funny.
and then you go to church, and you say, oh yeah, well, God is this, God is that. And then, I was like fortunate enough that my mother took me to like ethical culture, and I said, okay, so fine. I learned about like a lot of different religions, and then being in limbo for a while, and then going into Nichiren Shoshu Buddhism, the Nam-myo Renge Kyo, and learning about reincarnation and karma, and then going into like a spiritual teacher who took me through the whole like the divine plan and the secret doctrines and all this stuff. How did this happen? But except that I knew that I was a seeker anyway. So just apparently, like, you know, being the seeker that I was, like, the master just kept appearing. These masters just kept appearing and showed me like.
Yeah, well, you know, it's very likely that you are yourself a master, and you are reborn into this particular life with that deeper understanding, but we are born into our lives losing the memory of what we truly know. But you obviously have had a very strong guidance from your higher self and your soul, and you've been willing to follow that muse wherever it sends you, and here you are at 1 o'clock in the morning making a phone call to WBAI.
I've been driving a cab just a little longer than I've been listening to WBAI. I've been driving cabs off and on, and I'm still doing it, and when I say enjoy it, I'm not saying I enjoy it. I'm not saying I don't enjoy it. I mean, but it's a part of me that just keeps me going, and everything just fits. At this point, everything in my life is just fits. It's so amazing how like the pieces are all just fit together, and you know, so I can see like the puzzle rather than having pieces all over the place and trying to put them together like a puzzle, you know. They're like kind of already together, and it's just like, oh, look at this. This is a great scene. You know, it's a great scene so far. And, you know, of course, we have ups and downs in life, so I'm not going to make believe, like, you know, I'm Mr. Nirvana or anything like that.
I get what you're saying. I think that's wonderful. So, keep listening, keep calling.
Thanks a lot for the show. All of your shows.
I know.
All your participation in BAI.
Well, thank you very much. Uh-huh. I appreciate your call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was nice, Carl. Everything fitting together. And I think this is true for many of us if we were to
quiet and look at it from that perspective. Things do fit, like you were saying, you know, you go through certain things, certain failures, and you find yourself on the other side of it in a new place. It does all seem to fit.
It does. And I think about what I say, and there's sort of a conditionality to it, because at least for myself, I'm speaking from a stance of where there's a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fortunate not to have ever been homeless, or, you know, I've always been able to have a roof over my head. But I can't speak, of course, for people who don't have that. And that may be a completely different reality and a completely different definition of success in that context, in the place where they are in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing for me to say what I say in my own particular individual life, but it certainly would not necessarily apply for everybody, you know.
Or it may not seem to. It's hard to know what's happening inside of another individual, whatever their situation might be.
Truly.
But you're right. And it's not so, you know, so I think that there are certain paths that we as humans find ourselves on that are true challenges, that are true challenges. And, you know, because stuff happens, you know.
Yes.
People get sick, people die. People are in abusive relationships, you know. People, you know, encounter a hostile police on the street. I mean, things happen in the world that are difficult to comprehend. And there are challenges in our lives that are difficult to comprehend. But what I've seen and what I am seeing, though, is that whatever the challenge is, there is another side to it. There is the other side. And so I think perhaps the person who is homeless has a much greater challenge than, say, myself, who has an apartment. I think a person who is living in a household with someone who is abusive has a much greater challenge than myself, who doesn't have that. So I understand exactly what you're saying. However, I think it's important for us all to know that however big the experience may be, that we can still apply the same spiritual tools and understandings to it and be able to use that as a guide for connecting with our true self, our true center, because it's that part of our being that can help guide us through to the other side of that situation.
I completely agree.
So in that regard, yeah. I mean, I've known homeless people who consider that to be quite successful because their objective was not to be in what I call the rat race. You know, I don't think that people wanted necessarily to be homeless, but I think that, and I guess I connect with it on one level because I've always been such that I just did not, I could not. There's something in me that will not allow me to hunker down into a regular job situation. And it's not that there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I think it might be a defect because I am a person, I don't think in my entire life I've ever gotten to work on time. I don't think I've ever gotten to work on time. I could get there early, but I could never really get myself into the groove and to be self-satisfied in a normal working situation. And so, you know, I can't really complain that I don't have a normal working situation because I've never, ever really wanted it. And so when I look at sometimes when I look at people who are, like, I have cultivated some relationships, you know, not deep relationships, but they're, I know the homeless people or semi-homeless people in my neighborhood because I'll stop and talk to them, you know, if I have change, I'll give them change, you know, I'll ask them what they're doing, and you know so it's just that, you know, they're just people like all of us, you know. They're people with who, you know, they rather than sleeping on a bed, they sleep on a bench, but they're exactly the same. And they seem to, a lot of people really thrive in that lifestyle. You can collect a lot of change. I see people walking through the trains collecting dollars or change, you know, singing or whatever they do. They're making a lot of money. Hmm. So, I mean, not that I mind, you know. I give them what I can afford to give, I give. And so I don't mind that they're making their income that way, because that's actually hard work to spend hours of a day either in the cold or roaming through the train system, convincing people to give you small bits of money, and then to accumulate enough of it to actually buy your food and pay your, maybe, you know, whatever night sleep in a hotel or something. Hard work.
Very hard work.
But it's also a lot of freedom. I've come to understand this because I like to talk to people who are in these situations. And there was this one gentleman who I encountered. He was on the street, and he was really angry because he was a person who collects bottles and puts them in for change. Hardworking guy. I mean, he had shopping carts of bottles, and he was sorting them into bags and cans and this and that. And I was just amazed at the industry of what he was doing. It was such an industrious endeavor. And when I started to talk to him, he was like, yeah, this is what I choose to do. I don't want to work in any, you know, with somebody telling me what to do. I want to be free. I want to be out here in the open. So I do this. And he makes, because he's industrious, he makes a lot of money. And he talked about, you know, this particular person happened not to be homeless, but that's how he made his living. So, I mean, I just think if we open up our space for whatever people do, it's what they choose on a lot of levels. And even when you are in a situation that seems toxic, there's always a level of choice in it. So if you're in a relationship with someone who is abusing you, then you're choosing to stay in that relationship. You might feel stuck. You might feel afraid. You might need help. All of these things could be true. But the reason it's important to understand that there's a level of choice is because that begins to open the door to making a different choice. And then you can say to yourself, I choose not to have this experience any longer. I choose to leave this abusive situation, or I choose to get a job so I can pay rent, you know, whatever it is. But I think it's important to see the choice in what we've experienced so that we can be empowered to change the choices that we've made.
And it's important, I think, also to ask the question, like, what is preventing you from leaving a situation, rather than saying, you know, why don't you leave? Is what is preventing you from leaving?
That's a very good point. And how does one get insight into that? I know you do a lot of work on health issues and with people who are making choices and needing to make different choices in their lives. And you've worked with you know, pregnant women, young women who are pregnant, and young men who are in these relationships. And so how do you interface with people to show them that they can make a different kind of choice?
I think it's with listening to their story and understanding who they are on an individual level. Because, for instance, as you're talking about abusive relationships, there may be many reasons that someone doesn't walk away. Anything from economic reasons, you know, there may be issues of being documented in this country. There's so many ways in which people can be trapped in relationships. And so I think once you understand what are these different factors or influences that affect their lives that may prevent them from walking away, that's when you can start to address them.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, asking someone, well, why don't you just leave? It almost blames the person for their situation,
mm-hmm.
rather than understanding what are the things that are preventing them from leaving.
Right. All those factors.
Yes.
Because so when I say that there's a choice, it could be perceived as blaming that person in a way. That's not what my intent is, but based on what you're saying, I could see how that could be a perception of what I was saying. So, but even in a person's own self-analysis, if we put together what you're saying with what I was saying, a person can begin to look at their situation in that way and say, rather than beating up on myself and blaming myself for being in this situation, let me look at the factors that are causing me to be here, and then maybe I can just deal with one of those factors at a time.
Sure, you brought it up.
Yeah.
Economics.
Yeah.
You know, if that's an issue, you know, there may be ways of overcoming that. You know, and I think there are other ones that you mentioned, but if you sort of distill them so that they're clear in your mind,
mm-hmm.
in terms of why a person can't leave, what's preventing them from leaving, you can tackle each one separately,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, see what happens.
Beautiful. Well, we're just about out of time, and our compadre Jim Freund is right outside the door, but we have a phone call. Let me take this call before we move along. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was just listening to your conversation, and one thing that popped into my mind in terms of people making choices, alternatives that would kind of support a better life, is the question of enlightenment. A lot of times in my own personal journey, whenever I run into people who are suffering from any type of difficulty, it's because I perceive it to be a lack of enlightenment on their part. And I think it's easy to take for granted how many of us get caught up into the rat race, as it were, of mm-hmm. day-to-day existence, where self-actualization and seeing yourself in a better alternative isn't apparent because you just don't have the enlightenment.
Hmm. Well, I think that there's truth to that. I've had a lot of days and weeks and months and years when I was out of touch and felt very unenlightened. And I think it's something that we all go through, these periods of our lives where we're out of touch with ourselves. And some of us, because of whatever reason of life upbringing, we don't even know that there is something else to be other than, you know, the rat race kind of thing. You know, it's difficult when people don't even know that there's something else.
Extremely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your call.
Sure.
a good call to finish up our program. We have a few minutes left. I wanted to let you guys know that, for those of you who don't already, the program that I do on Monday afternoons, Heart of Mind, is actually moving to this time slot. So Earth at Midnight will be merging with Heart of Mind sometime in April, I think. It'll become official. So for you guys, it's all the same, because here I am, and here we are. But it, you know, I don't know. I'm allowing it to cultivate in a free form fashion, and we will hopefully, from my perspective, be able to have the option of broadcasting from Brooklyn, which is where I have my abode, and actually the station is soon going to be moving from these facilities. So it would be a little more inconvenient for myself, a little more inconvenient for Paulette, I suppose. But we're going to work that out. And so we'll be here for some time, I suppose. And for those of you who want to tune in on Mondays at 1, the program Health Action, which now is Mondays at 11 p.m., is going to be moving down to 1 p.m. Health Action is a co-hosted program, of which I am one of those co-hosts. So I'll still be there in bits and parts. And since I really do love broadcasting, I should say, for those who are listening to the radios on Friday mornings on the Progressive Radio Network on Gary Null's radio station, Heart of Mind Radio is there at 10 a.m. live when the station is up and running. So lots of options of making that connection. And beyond that, I have earlier, I believe it was last week, I was reading some material from the Cosmic Awareness material, and I was reading something called Journey of the Soul. Cosmic Awareness, The Journey of the Soul. And it's a PDF document, and it was a document that was part of the premium that I offered during the fund drive, the historical document archive. Anyway, it's about a 66-page document. It's a beautiful read, and it's The Journey of the Soul, 30-part series, A Metaphysical and Spiritual Development by Cosmic Awareness. And it's long, but it has something on spiritual maturity, how some souls self-destruct, the rules governing reincarnation, what exactly is collective consciousness, how souls are created with pixels of energies. Souls are essentially a kind of magnetic energy. The soul in relationship to planetary bodies, how moving into a karmic family works, how long between Earth incarnations, the realm known as heaven, how does one get heaven? And actually, it's interesting because this describes heaven as being really just a few realms beyond physical Earth. It's not really, you know, the making your way back to source, which is interesting. Is that all there is? The importance of developing an individuality, the crisis that is coming, awareness and the law of one. And it just goes on and on. So at any rate, it's a 66-page document. It's a PDF. And I am willing and able and interested in sending it to you. So if you would like to have a copy of this document, just drop me an email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And I will send you a copy of this document, 66-page document on the journey of the soul. And I have quite a number of people who are participating, and they will, we're going to be doing like a phone dialogue about it, separate from on the air, where we just talk about some of the concepts that are shared in this document. So please do that. And also, if you're interested in finding out more about meditation Qigong classes, I have two classes this weekend at 1 p.m. in Brooklyn. I'll be at the New Life Expo at 6 p.m. on Sunday, the 22nd. And Paulette is going to tell you again about the memorial for Robert Knight.
Yes, indeed. On Saturday, March 28th, at the Riverside Theater inside of Riverside Church at 191 Claremont Avenue near West 120th Street, we'll be having a tribute for Robert Knight. It's free of charge. The reception starts at 6:30, and the program starts at 7 and ends at 9, and it'll be full of live music, comedy, conversation, and film clips, and so it should be very festive. Again, you can RSVP if you want, but it's not required. You can just come and enjoy.
And that is 1 week from Saturday, March 28th, at the Riverside Church Theater, the Riverside Theater at the Riverside Church, 6 p.m. And if you forget that information, 6:30 is it?
6:30
is the reception. So you won't want to miss that part of it, so get there early. You can go to the website wbai.org, and you'll see on the banner that's going across the top, you'll see a banner there for Robert Knight's memorial or tribute. You can click on that, get all the information that you need if you maybe are under the covers and don't have a pen in your hand. You can go to the website tomorrow. But just remember, it's a week from Saturday. So thank you all. Hopefully, we will be able to connect either through email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Or, you know, you might be interested in coming to one of our Qigong classes coming up this weekend, meditation classes this weekend. Or you'll join me at the New Life Expo on Sunday at, Sunday at 6 p.m. I'll be at the New Life Expo Hotel Pennsylvania doing a lecture on vibrational intelligence. And I'm trying to get some music here. Jim is standing by, and he will make that transition. Say hello, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
All right. See you. Take good care. Have a lovely week.